Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Welcome to The Compound, hosted by Ian Happ.
It's a grand slam for Ian Happ.
What a play, Ian Happ, into the Ivy.
Dakota Mekis.
6'7", 250-pound Mekis. Swing and a miss. Struck him out.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 270. 270 of the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum, our friends at Parse. Go to Benny's. Get your Parse. Send us a photo. Send us a photo of you at the Parse. Still perfect time for the three-year. Little pina colada. Go by the beach. Great weather in Chicago right now.
That sounds good.
Probably a couple of people walking around Lollapalooza with some Parse this week.
Did you get a chance to see Olivia Rodrigo when she was at Wrigley?
I didn't know she was there until after the game.
Scott texted about that because as everyone knows, Ian loves a good female vocalist.
Big Olivia Rodrigo,
great voice. And Scott texted me that. He goes, I really hope Ian got to meet her. And I was like, I don't think he did. I feel like he would have told me or I would have like saw a picture of it.
Yeah, I would have been fired up. But yeah, I saw that she was at the game, but I had no idea until post game.
Give her credit, too. That was the day after her performance. I think the day after I perform a venue like that, I'd be just lying on the couch all day. I wouldn't be moving.
But that's probably like a good little treat after like, ooh, I get to go like hang out in a suite and like, I don't know.
I would have went Sunday. You know, personally, I would have just been taking that Saturday for myself. I just gave her credit that she was doing there 24 hours later. Not even.
Cubs fan. Everyone's a Cubs fan.
Everyone's a Cubs fan.
Ian, what's your favorite Olivia Rodrigo song?
Probably Driver's License.
I knew he was going to pick a song that I hadn't even heard of, and it wouldn't have been like...
I mean, that's a pretty famous song.
No, but I knew it wouldn't be...
like one of her most famous songs.
But I haven't heard of it. I'm dead serious. Like, I just knew it wouldn't be like the two songs I know by her because he's a true fan.
You need to put some Olivia Rodrigo in your life.
That's fair. I do like a good female vocalist as well.
Sour's a great album. Check it out.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh, Tom's a fan too. Ooh.
Tom's a fan. You love to hear it.
Oh.
You love to hear it.
I love Good For You. I play that all the time. Yeah. One of my most played songs of the most years since it's come out, I would say.
As it should be.
I still have a video on my phone of us at the compound of Ian singing very loudly to, I think it was a song from Frozen, wasn't it?
Yep.
And it'll never see the light of day. I would never, ever share that. Unless maybe one day I get permission, but I don't think you would ever get permission on that. But every now and then, if I'm looking at like old photos and stuff, I'll watch it. And I'm like, that's Ian Happ right there. Wow. Who would have thought?
She's belting a female vocal.
Love it. Love it.
You know what I would like to say really quick? Julie and I are launching the Happ Foundation. And so Tom was there and got to see the kids camp that we did and some of the kids that we brought in. Just, it's something that we've talked about for a long time and we've done other things. You know, we had a have family fund. Earlier in my career, we did some stuff. We've done different projects, but to really formalize it and do a 501c3 and kind of a legacy thing in the city of Chicago that we're proud of, it's exciting. I'm going to host a group on the field tomorrow of kids. And, you know, we really want to focus on education and getting kids out in the summer to do different activities and youth sports. And so just a bunch of different stuff, but it's exciting and cool to start.
That's awesome. Yeah. Is there an age limit for who can enter?
Yeah, you're in.
Yes. That's all I wanted to know. I'll be there.
And you guys have an event coming up in September, right?
Yeah, we're going to do an event in September. September
6th?
6th. September 6th.
Look at me. I got you. I'm throwing you alley-oops. Yep. I got
September 6th at Fioretta, which is a spot here in the West Loop. They're going to let us use their rooftop. We're going to have different restaurants come in. So it's going to be like some bites and some music and dancing and stuff. So it should be great. There's 200 tickets, I believe, available. The link's in my Instagram, the Hat Foundation Instagram. You can check it out. Maybe Tom will even put it under the thing here.
It'll be in the description.
Yeah. But we appreciate everybody who's supporting. We're excited to do more. And this is kind of just the beginning of it. So I've already gotten a lot of great messages from people after I put it out there today. So I appreciate it. Julie appreciates. We appreciate it. So thank you.
Love that. Anything for Julie.
That's exactly right. That's what I always say.
It's a good answer. It's a good answer as her husband.
Tom, you got some topics for us? Where do you want to start?
Yeah, we can tell by the fact that we're talking about Olivia Rodrigo here at the top of the show that we don't necessarily want to address the topic that I think we have to start with, which is the Cubs trade deadline. I'll be honest. This was my analogy about it today. I think the Cubs went to Thanksgiving dinner and they got the mashed potatoes and they got the macaroni and they got the rolls and they got the bottle of wine.
I wouldn't even give them all that.
They got a lot of the other things that are great at Thanksgiving dinner, but they forgot the turkey, which is kind of the key to Thanksgiving dinner in a lot of ways. The Cubs have needed a starting pitcher since Justin Steele went down, April 8th, I think. So they've needed a starting pitcher since then. And they chose to only get one. And unfortunately, we record this Monday night. We were supposed to record this before his start, so we at least could have been positive about that. Hard to be positive now because Michael Soroka will be heading to the injured list. And I just have a feeling we may not see him pitch again for the Chicago Cubs. So thank you for your two innings of service. And the Chicago Cubs had a tough trade deadline. Dakota, your thoughts?
We talked about it last week and we said they were either going to go all in and we were going to be excited, or they were going to kind of get some pieces on the side. Like you said, Thanksgiving dinner is a great analogy. And they did. And I actually did. I texted you guys. I love the Willie Castro move. I think he's perfect. He can play 20 positions. There's only 9 on the field. He can play 20. And that's really good to have. And he's looked great so far. I feel like he's got a lot of energy. Is that true, Ian? He looks like he's like a little fireball out there. Like he's
got good energy. He's fast, switch hitter, and plays everywhere. So a really good fit for us.
Yeah, started in center.
How many guys can play second, third, and center field in consecutive days? That's a very unique player.
Once upon a time. Right,
no big
definitely
deal.
Been 3 consecutive days in my career where I've done it.
Should we tell counts that you're doing that the next 3 days? We can get you in there.
That was once upon a time, man.
It was weird because the whole trade deadline, there was all this talk about like Mackenzie Gore, Sandy Alcantara, like Cease was a big name thrown around. Like there's a lot of these names thrown around and just no big starting pitchers got moved at all. Like Dustin May to the Red Sox, was that the biggest one? Like I can't think of like a bigger,
just from an industry, you know, I'm sure you guys saw some of these things that came out, but just from an industry standpoint, it seemed like the price tag for starting pitching was crazy.
But yes, Hauser I think was like the biggest name move. Sorry.
Yeah. Continue. I mean, it sounded like the price tag for starters was just insanely high. Plus you have the Marlins, who it looked like they were going to deal if not two, at least one starter, and they have started to play really well and kind of, I'm sure that raised their prices on selling starters. So it just seemed like the prices were crazy on starting pitching because you didn't really see anybody add starting pitching. But I will say about the Cubs deadline, just what Rodgers and Kittredge do for the bullpen. We didn't have a true sinker ball, anyone in the bullpen. You know, Keller throws a sinker, but most of our guys are like 4, vert guys. And
I was going to say, Keller throws a sinker, but he also throws 100.
Yeah, he also throws 98, 99 mile an hour four seams. So he has a sinker, but you wouldn't call him a sinker ball guy. And with our defense and our infield defense specifically, like guys that keep the ball on the ground, is big. And so adding Rodgers, who throws lefty, sinker, slider, high ground ball rate, to the two lefties that we already have that are more four-seam guys, huge, great for us. And then Kittredge, a righty that throws a sinker slider mix. It's really tough on righties. Like, those are two great additions, and I think make the bullpen really deep. So
they've looked good.
Him too. With Willie was a great combo. Soroka also had like a 1-1 whip. The expected stuff versus the actual stuff was super different. Obviously, the fact that, you know, he threw two innings in today and had the shoulder thing sucks. And like,
it's also his birthday, which is a bummer too.
Yeah, oh, at least for the immediate future, we won't get to kind of see what. And he looked good. And it's the first doing it. Honestly, the serve looked good. And like, yeah, I would have really liked to see what he's got. And hopefully, we'll get him back at some point.
I would have loved to see the numbers on that slurve. Those things were gross. Rodgers also looked gross. I think he hit Ellie De La Cruz with one pitch, and he swung like he was just pounding righties in with like back foot sliders and four seams up and in. I was like, that can't be a comfortable at bat from a long stringy lefty like that.
It is not.
No, that looks horrible. And Kittredge just look great as well. Like, they've been good additions for sure. And like me and Tom are saying, at least what I'm saying, I do like those two additions, and I like Willie Castro. But I needed like if you would have told me if I would have came out of there with Mackenzie Gore, I would have said we're good. I can live with the consequences. I can live with the outcome from there. I wanted Mackenzie Gore. I wanted a big starting pitcher that you can throw out there game one or two in a playoff series and be like, we're going to win this game. So that's where we were left wanting more in that respect.
Did you see the tweet that was like, I don't know if it was the Marlins or the Nationals or I don't know. I can't remember who it was, but someone tweeted after the deadline that the asking price for like some of those starters was like Matt Shaw and Kate Horton plus.
Prospects. Plus like other prospects. Well, that's where
they play every day on our team. What do you mean?
That's where it is tough as fans from the outside looking in, not knowing what those negotiations are like. But I'd also just, you never know how much of it's true, how much of it isn't true. So I'd love to be a fly on the wall in those calls.
I think we have to address this though, that like, in my opinion, it's not enough. And I think it's very frustrating as someone who really cares about the 2025 Chicago Cubs, that you can tell me the price is too high at the deadline, that's fine. But they had months where they knew this was the number one need on this team. And now you only went out and got one guy. And again, not their fault that, you know, he may not be available now for the rest of the season, but that's the issue with getting just one starting pitcher. We talked about the need for multiple starting pitchers. They only went and got one who did not have very good numbers, and now it does not look like he will pitch for a significant portion of time. And at the end of the day, this is a Cubs team that has the ability to make a deep playoff run. I think all of us on this call right now believe that. And it's frustrating to me that we saw reporting out there that Moises Ballesteros was not on the table. Moises Ballesteros is a 21-year-old DH only. I'm sorry, if he's not on the table, then Jed Hoyer and I are not having the same type of conversations. And there was a lot of conversation about that they were looking for a long-term player like Mackenzie Gore. I think they got a little focused on finding someone with extra years of control beyond this year. Rentals are okay. And the fact that none of the top seven prospects, none of that group of guys that I kept saying in Iowa, hey, send out the links to the MILB TV games. None of those guys went. That to me is the issue. And it is frustrating as someone who cares about the Cubs to watch them have Kyle Tucker and not go all in on this team. As I said, I like a lot of the moves. Like, I love mashed potatoes. I love getting the buttered roll. I love all those other aspects of Thanksgiving dinner. But if you don't give me the turkey, I'm going to sit there and go, what are we doing? And that's how I felt on Thursday. And I do think we have to advocate for that feeling as well. Because
I feel? Turkey's a bad meat, man. Turkey's a bad meat. I don't want it on Thanksgiving. I don't want that meat. And I don't need it.
Okay, that's great. What about ham? Take. You know, like, I'm open to other possibilities.
I wanted a steak. I wanted a nice filet.
The other thing I would say, too, is the price for Eugenio Suarez was not very high. And I do think that was another one where I would have loved to have seen the Cubs get involved.
Who did they get for him?
They got three prospects, none of whom I believe were higher than ninth in the Mariners organization. Now, we're also talking about how outside, you know, rating organizations, based, whether it's Baseball America, MLB, Pipeline, whoever, view these players. And obviously inside the industry, a lot of times I think those players are viewed differently. And I do think one other thing we have to address is that the Cubs did not have a lot of pitching prospect depth. Really, Jackson Wiggins was the one guy that if we were going to see a pitcher moved, it would probably be him. And I do think that hurt them in some of the negotiations, because I do think teams are very into right now the idea of acquiring a pitcher and then adding something to their arsenal and tinkering with them in their pitching lab. And when you have only hitting prospects, you don't have the ability to do that in the same way. But at the end of the day, the last thing I would say is that none of the top seven guys went. And to me, with this team and with the amount of outfield prospects the Cubs have, and they just drafted a bunch more outfielders, and they have a couple under contract, I would have liked to have seen a couple of those guys moved to get somebody, to get a live human being with a right-handed or left-handed arm who could go out and start games for them.
I just wonder, I want to hear those calls of like, hey, you want Mackenzie Gore? All right, we want Horton, Shaw, Casey, Ballesteros, and one other guy. It's like, okay, that's crazy. But that's why I need to know the facts before I can completely be like, how did we not get it done? But I do agree that like, it's crazy that with this roster and this lineup that there wasn't a move made where one of your top prospects was shipped out for somebody to start games towards the end of the year. Just because you do, like the Cubs do have a really good farm system. And I always think I was listening to a podcast or I was watching it on TV or something. Like, prospects are just that, like they're prospects. Like, you never know what they're going to become. Like, these guys could be your, oh, like you were number four ranked prospect in our org. It's like, okay, that's not a guarantee they're going to do anything in the big leagues. So it's tough to watch that.
So I was surprised. I put out a few tweets on Thursday that were a little incendiary, and I got some people defending Jed Hoyer in my comments, which I was surprised about because I thought most fans would feel the way I felt. But I respect everyone's opinions, but I would say if you're worried about hugging onto these prospects, especially this group of prospects in particular, go look at the 2020 list. Go look at the 2019 list. Go look at the 2021 list. A lot of those guys that were very highly touted on those lists have not turned out the way that I think Cubs fans may have hoped or expected. And that's ultimately what prospecting is. You're trying to project out who these guys are. And I think I was talking about this with Lance Berdowski here at Marquee, and we were talking about some of the modeling that teams use in terms of, okay, this is this player's value. We have to get this amount of value back for this trade to make sense. And he was talking about sometimes, well, teams are looking for a guy who's a fourth starter, and maybe they project him the upside. He could be a third starter one day. And I think that's insane. We don't have the ability with prospecting to go, this guy's a four starter, but maybe he'll be a three starter. We don't know. The guy could be a five starter. The guy could be a one starter. There, anyone who's telling you they could project a guy to that level of specificity, I would not trust. And I think these models have gotten teams a little bit too analytical in these trades. And for Jed Hoyer, maybe you had to overpay to help this 2025 Cubs team. And maybe you lose a little bit of value down the line. But that would have been worth it to me.
I would like to know, you know, how I feel about future modeling. I would like to know, like, when you do that for a player, and it's for the 6 years of control that you're going to have, how often is that within even, like, a two-win range? Because they're projecting out, like, over 6 years, we're going to have, you know, 12 to 15 wins out of this guy or whatever in the WAR category. It's like, how often is that right?
It can't great be question. Right
very often. It can't be that often. Can't well, be. I mean, Tom, you're talking about what prospectors look at. Go ahead and check out top prospects 2017. Maybe towards the end, towards number 30, you might see the big fellow's name there. Look at me now, podcasting. No big deal. Didn't make it. Didn't make it.
I heard the podcasting prospect ranks had you really high.
Really high. So. That probably had really me. High. I might have been number one in the org. For that's podcasting.
Why, that's why I drafted you, man.
You did. And what a hit for you. Wow.
Saw something in you.
Yeah, you traded some heavy hitters for me, too. So it worked out.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
That was why Ian went to Iowa in 2019. He was scouting for future podcasters. Found a couple on the farm.
And he found me quick. He's like, this guy does not shut up. And he's like, you know what? I like that about him. I will say, moving on from the Cubs here, I think we all agree, me and Tom agree, would have liked to see more. But I think the shocker for me of the whole trade deadline was Carlos Correa going back to the Astros. And the Twins just really selling everybody. Fire sale.
But not Joe Ryan.
Not Joe Ryan, though. There was so much that was going on, I couldn't keep up with it all. I was refreshing Twitter every 2 seconds to see.
It was a really fun trade deadline, I will say.
It was.
I thought it was a very good deadline in terms of activity. And if you were just a pure observer of it, very fun to see all the moves, especially the Twins fire sale. I love seeing teams make moves like that. Like, go commit one direction. And certainly the Twins committed to a direction.
I saw that next year they have Byron Buxton and I think Pablo Lopez are the only two players under contract for next
but
season.
Is Joe Ryan, he's not a free agent, is he?
He must be. That was the tweet I saw. It was just those two.
But isn't some of that also have to do with like guys haven't signed contracts because they're going to be in arbitration or they're on renewables or whatever?
Yeah,
so like,
I think
some of that's like
deals.
A little bit, you know, misleading.
Oh, yeah, he's still an ARB. Okay, so yeah, they're not counting all the ARB people with that. So that is misleading. You are definitely right there. But the Correa move, I mean, the Astros kind of surprised me in that, like, they've had a ton of injuries this year. They kind of surprised me how all in they went. Like, they got Jesus Sanchez, Urias from the Orioles. I don't think they got any pitching, but, like, they went and got, like, three pretty good bats to add to their lineup to kind of shore up. And Jeremy Peña came back after the All-Star break right after the trade deadline from injury. So Astros just keep chugging along and made some moves to compete in the AL.
Yeah, and Correa playing third and like going back there is a cool story.
Well, people don't forget. That's all I'll say. People don't forget.
Also, yeah, the Padres going and...
Padres getting Mason Miller.
Getting Mason Miller is crazy.
Their bullpen... I saw a tweet that it had to be from a Mets fan, but I saw like a tweet during the trade deadline that was like, oh, Mets now have the best bullpen in baseball. I'm like, have you never heard of the San Diego Padres? Like that bullpen, if a starter can go four innings, the Padres are in good shape. Their bullpen is unfair.
Yeah, we haven't seen him in a long time, so I haven't kept up with him. I have no idea like what who's doing what on the team because we haven't seen him in so long because we finished with them in April. But if all those bullpen guys have stayed healthy, like it's deep.
Let me give you some names. Jeremiah Estrada, gross, former Cub. Morahan, gross, lefty. Suarez, I don't think he's not their closer anymore. Now he's their setup man. Gross.
Is he Mason Miller
is their closer now, I believe. And best for last, friend of mine, Jason Adam, also in their bullpen. So that's five guys right there that are like closers for 20 yeah. teams.
And they have Wandy Peralta.
Yeah. I mean, it's disgusting how good their bullpen is.
Yes, deep.
They have so many good arms.
All the NL teams added. All the NL teams got better.
The Dodgers made some weird, I don't know.
Where do they add? And like they just need to get healthy. And then you have like the Mets added a bunch of pieces in the bullpen.
Phillies got Duran. Bader.
Yankees were very active too, which was interesting.
I was saving the Yankees for last time.
I do want to just read this Mason Miller quote, which I thought was interesting. He said after he pitched, after his Padres debut, I felt some things on the mound that I've never felt before. Which is San Diego's a pretty electric place to play. He has not played in some, let's say, less than desirable environments. So that was cool. I was happy for him that he got to experience. And obviously, I think one of the underrated parts of that story is really out of nowhere, Mason Miller, you know, former Division III pitcher in Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh guy.
Yeah. Don't forget. And the interesting part of that trade.
You're repping Padres, Pittsburgh today? Today we're choosing to rep Pittsburgh? Okay. Good to know. Continue.
Padres sent the number 3 overall prospect in baseball in that trade for a reliever. Some people think
they got Sears as well, a starter, not like a very middle of the road to back end starter, but it is.
I don't want to call another human being mid, but JP Sears.
It is a big league pitcher. It's a big league starting pitcher though. Like he is in their rotation, so I get why it costs a little bit more.
Oh, for sure. And you have obviously Mason Miller under control for a long time. I get it. It is interesting, though, in terms of there was some conversation about do the Padres eventually try to make Mason Miller a starter? Because the price is so high. I would be surprised if they did that. But when you spend that much there, I would be interested to see if during this offseason, that's maybe a conversation that happens.
You could always try it.
Tom.
Yes.
I faced him as a starter.
In the minors?
His debut.
Oh, he started this? I didn't even know that. Yankees went and got Bednar, Duvall, Bird, Rosario, infield depth from the Nationals.
Because he hits lefties really well. McMahon hits righties.
Slater from the White Sox, another righty.
Pulled his hamstring today.
Did he?
Yeah.
That stinks. But what stinks even more is you get all these – it's not funny. You get all these guys and – first game, they're all there. You say, let's activate them all. And 0-3. Really, really, really none of them did very good in their first outings.
Did you see on Yes, Michael Kay, when Bednar came in, said, we were talking to the Marlins broadcast before the game, and they said that David Bednar has really struggled here at Lone Depot Park. He has a career 7 ERA. They showed the stats. And I believe it was Paul O'Neill who was next to him and said, well, he's in a new uniform now. It's going to be all different. First pitch, home run. Gave up the lead. Tough introduction for David Bednar. I'm just confused. Does Brian Cashman think it's 2024? Does he think he still has Juan Soto on the team? I don't understand this. I hate it. I know I'm probably hypocritical because I demanded they make moves last year and then now they're making moves and I'm angry about it. But every move they made just made me more angry that they did not do this last year. And doing this for this Yankees team without Gerrit Cole, with Aaron Judge in state of flux, where it seems like now Giancarlo Stanton's going to have to go play the outfield? I mean,
Homer today, though, from Stanton. He's a laser.
That's great. I'm not worried about his hitting. He can no longer move. The man is immobile. He and I in a running race right now would be close, which is concerning. he can't go play the outfield, but he's going to have to, apparently. So I don't really understand why this is the Yankees team they decided to do all these moves with. I don't really see them having a lot of postseason potential. I hope these words get thrown back in my face one day, but I feel very confident that that's not going to happen.
You know who's been great for him, though? Friend of Ian's? I don't think, not really friend of the pod, never been on the pod. Cody Bellinger's been great all year. He's been very good.
Very good.
And luckily, Cody Poteet's been really good for the Cubs. So that was great.
Well, he's going to opt out of that deal and he's going to get paid
by the Cubs. He's coming home. I think that the AL is weird because, like, the Blue Jays, do the Blue Jays have the best record in baseball or the Brewers? Either way,
the Brewers.
The AL is weird because this is going to sound bad. None of the teams really, like, scare me in the AL. You know, like, I don't look at any of the teams in the AL and think, like, oh, powerhouse, like the Dodgers. Like, the Dodgers have been scuffling a little bit lately. I mean, they're still, like, 20 games over 500. But, like, the Dodgers, you look at them, you're like, I'm terrified. Like, the AL teams, it's weird to me. Like, you could make a case for 8 of them to make it to the World Series. 7 of them, 6 of them, like 6 to 8 of them, like a wild card team could make the World Series from the AL. So it's interesting to me, like, how that's all going to shake out. With the, I mean, Yankees are holding on for dear life to a wild card now.
Things are not great.
If the Yankees don't make the playoffs, we might lose Tom. That might be it.
As long as the Cubbies make the playoffs, that's I'm focused. You know, as Bill Belichick would say, we're on to Chicago. We're on to Wrigley Field.
I love that. But that's not true, because when the Yankees played the Cubs, you're rooting for the Yankees. So that's not true.
Messed up, man. So don't try to just go wishy-washy back. You guys are on me for all my teams. This guy, back and forth, whoever's the hot potato.
I'm only on you for your teams, Ian, because you don't really have teams in other sports. Like, you don't really follow other sports that closely other than F1, really. Okay. I'd say F1's your number one sport outside of baseball.
McLaren won 2 this weekend. Hey, baby.
Sure.
It's another one.
If you say so, my man. I don't even know what that means, but cool.
Did you see the F1 movie, Ian?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I'm waiting until it comes out on the old Apple TV.
You're the reason that movie theaters are dying, but okay.
Well, I'm a little busy. A little busy. I don't know. My movie times. I work nights. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Totally. Never have an fair. Off day. Or day. Off day.
Well,
day off day at the movie.
Honestly, Ian doesn't really have off days, because when he has off days, he's doing like a photo shoot or something. Who knows? Or,
I've been on the road with baseball teams. You could go to the movies if you wanted to. If you wanted to go to the movies, you
that just reminded me. Yes, I'm so glad I didn't forget. On Ian's last off day, he hosted a kids camp, and a kid asked him, "Who's your favorite minor league teammate you ever had?" And Tom sent me a video, and just like needles going into my ears, he said, "Gleyber Torres was my favorite minor league teammate." Oh yeah, oh yeah. New host of the Compound Podcast, Gleyber Torres. Welcome to the show, Gleyber. Like, that's insane. There's no way. I haven't played with him in 10 years. You haven't played with him in 10 years.
Can I just give you a...
You pandered. You pandered to the crowd. You said no one will know who Dakota Mekas is, so I'm going to say a big name people have heard of. I get it.
I just want to backpedal.
Sure. All right?
I just want to defend myself for a second.
Let's go. Let's hear your defense.
When I was asked that question... Mm-hmm. You know where my mind immediately went to?
Where?
To my first minor league, like being a young minor leaguer. That's where my mind went to. Okay. I felt like you and I were playing in 4A together. You know, we weren't in 3A, we were in 4A.
You were in 4A. I never made it, so I was never in 4A. 4A, to be in 4A, you have to go up to the show at some point. Didn't happen. I was in 3A, you were in 4A.
But then after Tom brought that up to me, I felt really bad about it.
Mm.
And then he did later on, there was another Q&A later on, and someone asked him who his favorite compound host was. I was sitting there, had just spent my entire day at this event, and he still said Dakota Mekas. So, you know, really shots all around at all of us.
Well, we've been doing it the full 5 years, Tom. You know, it makes sense. Man. I was there from day one sitting around a mic, and still he'd rather be sitting around a mic with Gleyber, apparently.
And you're the only one who's still here, man.
Still here, still grinding. And you know what? If someone asked me my favorite minor league teammate, that would actually be an impossible answer.
It wouldn't be me, I'll tell you that.
No, it probably wouldn't, to be fair.
That's okay. That's okay.
Because I also spent 7 years in the minors. You spent 2 months.
You know, and we never lived together.
Whose fault is that? Let's not bring this up. I'm only going to get mad.
It's all right. Maybe I would have said you if we would have lived together.
That's your own fault.
And we'll be right back.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Back.
Well, I want to talk about bullpen roles for a minute. I was going to ask Dakota this question and talk about how much you think it matters where guys are pitching and how much it matters for them to have the same sort of consistent role. One thing that's interesting about this Cubs bullpen is we've seen guys used in a lot of different spots in a lot of different situations. Caleb Thielbar the other day in the eighth inning gave up a pretty big home run. We've seen him used late in games. We've seen him used early in games. Just kind of wanted your thoughts on bullpen usage and like, did it help you in your career? Because you obviously had a lot of different roles throughout your minor league career as a back end guy. I saw you kind of as a bulk guy. You kind of did everything in between as well.
Put it this way: in the minors, you never wanted to be the bulk guy because that meant you weren't good enough to be a starter, and you weren't good enough to throw in the late games when it was close. And I was a bulk guy at times, and that is never fun because it's like, all right, got to go eat some innings. We're down eight. It's the fourth inning. I got to go throw two and a third.
Hey, but important role on any team, and you know it.
It really is. To eat it, like, I think of Mills for the Cubs at times, like, came out of the bullpen and was great at, like, eating innings and keeping the team in it. Because, like, in the MLB, like, a team can score five runs and get you right back in it.
Can I give a shout-out to one guy before we get into this topic? Is that Chris Flexen was DFA, but I was genuinely heroic for the Cubs a couple times and had, like, a couple four-inning outings where he would just eat innings for you guys and, you know, had a zero for a long time. Like, I don't know what will happen for him the rest of the season, but, like, his contribution to the 2025 Cubs should be noted and celebrated because, like, guy was very valuable.
Probably four or five wins that we had because of his performances.
I didn't know he got DFA'd. I'll be shocked if he's not claimed.
He will be.
He will 100% be claimed. Like, the team will probably claim him and have him start games or have him be, like, in a similar role the Cubs had him. Like, that, I didn't know he got DFA'd, to be honest. I didn't see that. All right, back to bullpen roles here. Early in my career, I had, like, a defined role, I guess. In the minors, you never really have a defined role. Like, sometimes you'll have a closer, and I, like, became a closer in Double-A in 2018. I was, like, the closer. So I would only, like, throw in safe situations, or if I hadn't thrown in a few days, like, in the minors, like, guys just have to throw. So like, you're going to throw every 3 days, no matter what, most likely. I liked that. It was good because like, I'd get into a routine of like, I would know in the seventh inning to start doing this and the eighth inning to start doing this. Like, you kind of get in a routine of when you want to start stretching, when you want to do your bands. Some guys would do plyo balls at certain times. And then later in my career, it was kind of like, never knew when I'd throw. In the minors, you kind of, like I said, if you haven't thrown in 3 or 4 days, you're pretty much going to throw that day because like there's just not that many arms and everyone ends up getting in there eventually. So you kind of just get used to being ready at all times. In the big leagues, I feel like in today's age, like I think back to like Tom Gordon and Mariano Rivera of like the classic setup man. I think of like the Royals with Davis, Herrera, and like 7-8-9 every time. I feel like in today's baseball, there's not really any more setup men. Like, I think, what's the guy that threw the eighth inning today for the Reds? Santia? He's like another like setup man. But like nowadays, I feel like until the closer comes in the game, it's kind of just manager's discretion. So like Brad Keller knows I might throw in the sixth inning if it's a big spot. If it's like second and third one out, like he might come in right then. Or if it's like, hey, we're up three and you're going to go and the starter went seven, like Brad Keller's got the eighth. So it's kind of, you're ready for all of those spots. And the Cubs are in a good position where they right now have like 5-6 guys that really could throw anywhere from innings 5 to 8. So I feel like they're just kind of in a mode of be ready at any time.
And most of it is matchup based. So you get these pockets of the lineup. So let's say there's three righties that don't handle sinkers well, like it's a great pocket for Kittredge. And like, there's just these pockets for guys. That's having three lefties is really nice. Cause if you have multiple times throughout the game that you're going to get their lefty pocket or like the Reds, for example, they have Friedel hitting one and then Ellie's hitting three. You have a chance to flip Ellie around. You get Friedel. So a team like that where, you know, they're not the best example, but like the Dodgers are a good example with Ohtani, and then you're going to get Freddie. So you're having those lefties probably face them twice. Might be the sixth and the eighth, might be the fifth and the seventh, you know, but it's very, very good. Matchup based and not necessarily like, hey, you're going to be the first one in the sixth, you're going to be the eighth inning guy.
Do you think that makes it harder for those guys to prepare because it is like, it is so much more matchup based, or Can you try to anticipate those matchups a little bit now?
I think it's more guys kind of see the writing on the wall of like, hey, this next inning, it's like righty, lefty, righty, righty, righty. It's like, all right, like if I'm Keller, like there's a good chance they could bring me, like say a lefty's on the mound at the time, like, all right, they'll probably give the lefty, like say Shota's still in the game. It's like, all right, he'll probably get through the first and second hitter. And then there's a good chance I have that third hitter. So you kind of like, you get used to it and you get in routines where like relief pitchers are kind of, they're so different from starters and where like you just kind of stay ready all game. Like you just kind of move around. You never really get too like sedentary. I think that's the word.
That's a great word, man.
I'm a pretty really smart guy. Word. What can I say? So yeah, you kind of just like stay ready. I was thinking about it today. I remember, and I think JD was talking about on the broadcast with Ben Brown, like when you kind of just get thrown into it and you don't expect to throw, those were my best outings. Like my best outings were, it was like, hey, Mekas, like get hot fast. Cause you're not thinking, like you just hop up there, you start throwing the baseball. You're like, I'm ready. Let's go. And you go in the game versus like, all right, who's coming up? Like I need to really execute this. And like, you're just overthinking. So that's where I had my most success, was where it was like, I could go in at any time. And then it's kind of like a fire drill of like, get ready as fast as you can. You're in the game.
Yeah, it's also kind of the bullpen coach's job to be like, hey, man, this pocket in this inning, this looks like it might be your pocket. Or to all three lefties being like, hey, you got the lefty pocket coming up. Not sure who it's going to be, but it's going to be one of you guys. Like, just communicating that at all times to make sure those guys are prepared. And they have all the reports down there to make sure that those guys are locked in when they come in.
Or even if it's like, say, Keller's got the seventh inning and it's three righties, but it's like, hey, the fourth hitter's a lefty. He's probably the bullpen coach. The fourth and fifth hitter are lefties. It's like they're probably the bullpen coach is probably telling like Dielbar and Rogers and all the lefties down there, like, hey, there's a chance that like if anyone gets on and there's any trouble, like you're going in to face those lefties.
I thought you brought up a really good point with Ben Brown. We were talking about this in the office, that I do think he's a guy that perhaps is a little bit of an overthinker, and that when he came in today, and obviously he did not know that that was going to happen, he looks really good. And it is like, sometimes you do wonder if there's a way, and I know the Cubs are obviously thinking about this, if there's a way, if you can get those guys out of those routines of like overthinking it, and just, as you said, let it be a fire drill sometimes, because sometimes that does lead you to more success.
It's so hard to like create that though. Yeah. That's the tough part. Cause like, if you do that every time, then it's like, oh, like I know what's going to happen. Like, you know what I mean? Like then he starts to read into it and he's like, I know what's going to happen.
And
so it's kind of, yeah, it's just tough.
You want to be as prepared as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. And there's a fine line between preparation and, you know, trying too hard to do something instead of letting your stuff play. And like, it's also funny because you're like, if Ben Brown just goes out there and rips his stuff and is like, you know what, screw it, I'm throwing heaters and wherever they land, I'm going to rip my off speed. But like, also if he throws a middle heater and get hit homer, you're like, what's he doing? It's like, well, he was just trying to rip it right down the middle. What are you talking about?
Exactly. It's also,
for sure, there's definitely like some like results based bias because of that. Like, because like, oh, he pitched well, now that means that, for sure.
Yeah. And there's a fine line, like instead of like doing a fire drill, but it's also like, it's not like Ben Brown was sitting out there, feet kicked up, hoodie on, like taking a nap with seeds in his mouth. Like he was probably still like moving around ready to go. You know what I mean?
First, it's not guy, like he knows what his role is right now. Like he's the first guy down there. Like if something happens, like it's going to be his spot. So like he's ready from pitch one.
Yeah. Like no one's really out there like messing or screwing around and isn't ready to go. It's just like no one knew Soroka was hurt until I'm guessing he came into the dugout and then they were like, hey, bullpen, like get Brown going, like he's in the game.
And he had a little bit of extra time because Lodolo came out as well and they had to get Martinez hot on the mound, so it gave him a few extra minutes.
That's, I will say, that's the worst thing as a reliever. When I was warming up in the bullpen knowing I'm going into the game, I'm rooting for my guys to get out. I'm openly rooting for my guys to get out because I'm like, I'm ready to go. Get me on the mound. Stop making me throw more pitches and just stand on this mound in the bullpen. Let me in there. So it's the worst when there's like a long inning when you're going in the next inning.
I was going to ask you guys, I don't remember the last time I saw both starting pitchers knocked out of the game in the after the second. I mean, that was crazy today.
Super weird. Luckily, both teams, like Martinez is a former starter, Brown's former starter, like both teams had long guys, which kind of helped a ton. But yeah, that was very odd. Because Tom texted me and he's like, Soroka coming out of the game, that's not great. And I was like, did he mix it up? Like, it was like as Lodolo was coming out with a blister, I was like, is he watching the game? Like, it's Lodolo, not Soroka. Like, I thought maybe you saw a tweet like, oh, a pitcher's coming out. And I was like, no, it's Soroka's fine. And then you go, oh, it's his shoulder. I saw a video in the dugout. I was like, uh-oh, that's not good.
Not good.
No. It'll be all right. The company,
you know what is
fine.
Good? You know what is good,
we're
though?
Fine. Bruce Bolt.
Bruce Bolt. BruceBolt.us. Go check him out. Just got a new shipment. Was running a little low. Got a bunch of batting gloves in. I don't know if you've seen it. I've been rocking the baby blues lately. Baby blues. You got the elephant prints. Got the white with the baby blue. BruceBolt.us. Signature series. Use code HAP at checkout. Check out the golf gloves. Try them out. They're awesome. I've been using them. They're fantastic. They lead to lower scores. Can't guarantee it. Wouldn't say that, but they're pretty good. BruceBolt.us. Dakota, what do you got?
Your cleats were sick.
Yeah, the Rhino cleats.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
They were supposed to. So there's this thing at Wrigley where for day games, the loading dock shuts down at like 9 a.m. So if packages don't get delivered like before 9 a.m., they just don't. They're not showing up. So usually the delivery people know that, like, if that's the first stop on their route, because they're not gonna go. So my cleats are supposed to get in on Friday so I could wear them for, you know, the Memorial and then the Sandberg Jersey game, and then they didn't make it because the loading dock shut down. They got turned away.
That's pretty quick turnaround though for what company did those for you?
True Blue Customs, my guys. They do all my cleats, and yeah, they did a great job. They did a great job, you know, something for Rhino, and they killed it.
Do you plan to wear those like every game?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sweet.
We should talk about Ryan Sandberg Day on Saturday. That was pretty cool to see you guys all wearing 23. Nico was wearing his famous flip-up
shades,
which was really cool. And you could see how much it meant to the guys that, like, Nico and you had been on the team for a long time and obviously it had that relationship. What was it like just to kind of see all the guys wearing 23 on Saturday?
Yeah. I mean, just, it was It was special. I think, you know, obviously emotional and sad. I think Friday, everything that they did, his former teammates coming out, Dunston, Sutt, and putting second base in, that was a really emotional moment. That got me. I was waterworks on the field. I was just, it was tough. But, like, you know, just what he meant to the organization, the fans, seeing everybody out there, like, it was pretty crazy. But, yeah, being able to wear 23, being able to represent it like that, I thought the touch of doing the blue jerseys, you know, we couldn't get a Major League Baseball doesn't make a pullover, like, jersey.
I know,
like,
the pullover would have been time. Amazing.
It would have been really cool to do, like, the pullover for him, but we couldn't get it done in time. But, yeah, I mean, just to be able to do that for him, see all the old videos and stuff, it was
because you cool, guys, I think. You don't ever wear blue at home, do you?
No.
That's what, okay. I was like pretty certain of that. I knew it was for like Ryan Sandberg Day, but I was like, I don't think they ever wear blue at home anymore.
No, never do. So it was, yeah, it was cool to be able to do that. Yeah, love the patch on jerseys all year. I'll be rocking those cleats for a while. And just those little tributes, Hank, it, they've been just flying his flag on the one flagpole, you know, of the retired players, which is cool. Just little things.
The Nico glasses were yeah. Awesome. I saw that was really and I was good. Like, no way. I was like,
he's got the flip ups on his statue too.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I want Nico to just keep wearing those now.
They're electric. They're not very functional though.
Because it's really like if you think about it, there's no way a ball goes in the air and you're like, all right, here we go. Let me flip these bad boys down and then look for the ball.
And like they're just like sunglass technology hasn't like come a long way, but like, you know, Oakley's and like the specific, you know, the shape and like the actual lens that you're trying to see the ball, like these things
they're
are
not the best.
They're basically flat and like they're kind of like hazy, like they're not the best glasses. So like he wasn't going to be flipping those up and down and trying to see what's going on in the field.
No, but it was a good tribute, though. It was cool.
It was really good.
Pretty cool, too, the first ball of that game, ground ball to second base. My only note was I know they gave Dansby the day off, so Nico was playing short. Would have loved to have Nico at second in the glasses. Craig, I would have maybe we could have gave Dansby the off day on Sunday. Just my one note. If I'm criticizing Craig Council at all.
That's fair.
I got one that was interesting. I thought Colton Cowser did a nice job in left field over the weekend for the Orioles. And
he made a ton of good plays.
Made a couple really nice plays. And also, I thought you can attest to this, Ian. One of the sneaky best things he did was one of those balls went into the ivy in a big spot, and he immediately threw the hands up and prevented you guys from getting a run that ended up being pretty important in that game. They were also talking about, which I didn't know, that there are like berries in the ivy. In that Danny has some trouble getting the berries out of your guys' uniform in the ivy. Do you get berry-fied sometimes?
Well, I try to stay away from it, but yeah, if you hit the ivy, you'll get some berries on there. They don't come out very easy.
What are they? Blueberries, blackberries? What are they?
It's like a red berry, I'm pretty sure.
That's interesting. Cowser did make a ton of good plays though. I was watching that game and I was like, stop, leave him alone.
Yeah, he made one up against the wall and one of the staff was like, man, pretty crazy to go into the wall like that. I'm like, yeah, that's what happens. Guys who don't play here very often go into it once.
And they're like, I don't want to.
And then they're like, I shouldn't do it anymore.
That I meant to bring up today. Kyle Schwarber, man, doing it. Two more homers today. He's at 40.
Good player.
Dude, he's hitting some bombs too. His first one tonight was like third deck. Dude, he's so good.
He hits absolute rockets. He already has like 90 RBIs.
And it's hilarious, too, because his swing, he's just so big and powerful. Like, it doesn't look like, you know, like when Bryce Harper gets one, it looks like he used every ounce he has to hit it. Schwarber just, like, flicks his wrist, and it's like, that ball went 440. Like, what's happening right now?
He's strong, man. He's country strong.
Big, strong
Middleton, boy. Ohio strong.
Yeah. It's cool to see him doing it. My other thing about that game, have you faced Christopher Sanchez?
Yes.
He's gross.
He is good.
Very good. He threw like
he's been really good for them. The combo, like the sinker changeup combo, is just good.
He threw 8 innings and was at like 40 something pitches through 5. Like he was on his way to a Maddux. I think he was only in the 80s after 8, and they still brought in Johan Duran and like closed the door. But Sanchez is very impressive.
They have a very underrated staff.
Yeah, 100%.
And Sanchez, Suarez, Wheeler.
Wheeler's gross too. So yeah, It's a fun team. The NL's tough. It's tough, man. It's a tough league. People tough forget.
League. Tough league. Just got to get there. Just got to get there. See what happens.
We got a hot take?
Nope. Nope, we don't. We don't have a hot take. Okay, we're not doing one. All right, putting Danny on probation. His hot takes have been trash.
I think what happened is the live show incident. I don't think we've had a hot take since then. I think Ian's put him on ice since then.
Not a good one. Go ahead, Dakota.
I got one more thing.
Yep.
And we're a positive podcast.
We certainly try to be.
The Speedway Classic, I think it was called, disaster.
Not great.
Absolute disaster. You can't try to start a game in the rain. That in the major leagues, you can't do that. Actually, was my biggest issue with it, is that they tried to force it, and I was like, it is pouring rain.
Can I give you two thoughts?
Yes, of course.
Thought one, the idea of having a major league baseball game where there's like 85,000 people, cool idea.
But the seat,
a lot of tickets.
You couldn't see anything.
Okay, having it in a place where it's probably going to rain and you just put a field out there, it doesn't drain. It's no, a temporary,
it sits there.
A temporary thing.
It's literally in a bowl. There. It's literally in a bowl.
It's in a bowl. So I was talking to some of the Reds guys and they were like, yeah, it's just like it was a brand new, so like it doesn't, there's no drainage. And it said it wasn't even raining that hard. It's just like you could have spit on the field and there would be water on it. Like you just, it had no chance. So yeah, I don't know. Some of these things, good ideas. Some not so good ideas.
It, like you said, I didn't hate the idea behind it, but there was just some of it where like you'd see pictures of people from their seats, like that's a strike, Blue, and they're 7,000 yards away. I'm yeah. like, this can't be enjoyable. Like,
can you imagine trying
anything
to watch a baseball game in like a college football stadium, like from the top yeah. deck? Like, you'd have you wouldn't be looking
you can't
at anything.
See anything that's happening. But I like you. Like you said, I like that they're trying these new places. I think they should
give them a chance. Like they keep rolling out these events, the Little League Classic, the Field of Dreams game.
Well, they're still doing Little League this year as well, I believe.
Yeah.
Or Williamsport, something. Sorry.
But it doesn't feel like a lot of them stick. Like Field of Dreams, I thought worked, and then they just kind of went away from it. I think you have to give things 5 to 10 years of a run. You know, like, I mean, if you do all these one-offs and you just keep doing new ones, and you give none of them a chance to like develop history and heritage, then none of them really stick and become memorable. And I think that's what MLB is looking for, is like a signature summer event. And none of these have really hit the mark, but I think a lot of that's because they don't have history. Like, look at the World Baseball Classic. People said it was never going to work and it didn't have history. And then eventually enough of them were played that it became an event that has history. But if you don't give the events enough time, they're never going to get to that point.
I agree with you.
I think Field of Dreams is the one that will stick if they get like, if they actually like put work into it to like make it a full-time stadium and like do it year after year. I think that's the one that just going back to like the movie and all that, like I think that's the one that if you do that every year, it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, they did Field of Dreams twice. They did London twice and then they kind of banged both of them. It would be good if they did like, all right, there's going to be 3 or 4 of these a year. And maybe you try one out every couple years, but like there's 2 or 3 that are like Little League and then 2 more that are just like every year we're going to have this event. Maybe not every team's going to get to play in it, but a lot of the teams are going to get to play in it. And like, I think that would be cool. But you're the ready? Difference, wait, time out. I'm going to keep going. The difference between like the Little League game was there, you can only fit like 15,000 people there. And so like the
Field of Dreams like, too, right?
What?
Wasn't Field of Dreams also similar, like smaller?
Yeah. Both Little League and Field of Dreams were both like, I don't know, 15,000 people. And so like you make money by broadcasting it on Fox or whatever, but like for, as far as ticket sales, like there's just not that much money there. Where this Bristol thing, 85,000 tickets, like a lot of money in that. So like you have to find a way to make that thing sustainable.
Ready? I got it. Field of Dreams and Williamsport happen every year. Teams rotate, switches every year. They happen, whatever, a couple months apart during the season, June and August. Every year, like we did this year, you open up at a different country. two different teams go to Japan, and then the next year they go to Australia, and then they go to London. It switches every year. That's where you can switch it up. To open the season, two teams go to a different country.
I think one of these marquee events should take place on like July 4th or Memorial Day or Labor Day. One of these days where, especially I think Memorial Day or Labor or July 4th, where they, baseball has the attention of the public and hasn't been able to capitalize maybe in the way we would have liked.
I know what Ian's going to say about this though. Ian?
A team will never do that because you're going to sell out your stadium on those days all the time.
I know, but like, again, like this is very short-sighted from baseball where it's like NHL was able to get a huge landing spot on New Year's Day by putting a game on New Year's Day that everyone cares about. And that, and people told them they were crazy for doing that because that's already a day where college football famously already controlled it. Baseball has no competition. And I understand your point that they are going to sell out and one team is going to lose a gate. But if we're not willing to let one team lose a gate because we're so short-sighted that we can't see that the potential that a July 4th marquee event would have for the rest of the sport, like that to me is part of the issue with people running baseball right now.
But I think people on those days are going to watch no matter what. Like I think that's already a huge viewership day just in general.
But there's no like national games right now. We need to create a national baseball event on that day. And there isn't one right now. There's just regionalized coverage.
You're saying like a Field of Dreams game should be on July 4th, something like that.
Or like if you want to do these NASCAR tracks, like great, you know, call it like the America Classic and every year it's at a different, whatever, you know, I'm open to any sort of idea that would front and center put baseball on that day and give it a pedestal and a stage that makes it memorable and makes it, I would love to be at the same venue. I think that's maybe the Field of Dreams day to me, but you could argue, you know, any sort of make it the Sandlot, you know, we'll play it at Rickwood Stadium. I'm open to all the ideas. I don't have all the answers necessarily, but I want baseball to be more in the national culture right now, and giving up asking a team to give up one gate feels like not asking a lot for the sport to try to grow.
Yeah, but then you also have to have a travel day in there. So if it falls on a weekend, then you lose a weekend game. But I hear what you're saying, and I like the Sandlot idea. Let's put a massive dog in left field, and let's play a Sandlot game. I think you're on to something.
I like that a lot.
Should we give people the screen time?
Sure. Mine's going to be real bad because it's 1 a.m.
Sean, what's your screen time? Your screen time. Tell the people. Sloan's world leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems at the forefront of the green building movement provides smart, sustainable, and hygienic restroom solutions. Sloan Valve, if you're in the market for flushers, faucets, or sink systems, check them out. What are your screen times?
7:32.
That's not bad at all. I was going to say mine's 8:45, and for a full day, I'm going to be honest, I'll take that.
Mine's 3:23. Also,
I mean, for a full day, I'll take anything under double digits.
That's episode 270 of the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum. Go to Benny's, get your Parse, send us a photo. We will see you next week.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.